From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a show we have for you today. Former Major League outfielder Matt Holliday stops by with some thoughts on goings-on in the Major Leagues. Plus, New York Post baseball columnist Ken Davidoff with the hot New York Yankees. He'll give us the skinny on that. Plus, foul affair, that and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
It's impossible to not lead this podcast off with the Yankees. I mean, like seriously. I thought they were dead. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about it. I didn't know what they were going to do with the trade deadline. I thought they were going to sell players. The franchise seemed dead. They couldn't score. They were losing. It just seemed like to be a mess. And here we are. The Yankees are like steamrolling. They went to Atlanta. Both teams have won 9 games in a row. And they won both games against the Braves to take it to 11 in a row going into Wednesday. And it's the longest winning streak by the Yankees since 1985. I mean, 1985, you know how long? You mean that the Yankees that won the World Series in 96 and 98 and 99 and 2000, remember that juggernaut? That team with Mariano and Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter and all those Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, they never won 11 games in a row? It speaks volumes. And the pitching is there, the hitting, I don't know. I picked the Padres and the Yankees before the season started, and it looked like both of my teams are going to be out as far as my prediction. But the Yankees have given me hope, and the Yankees have played some great baseball, and it'll be interesting to see how they finish out the month.
Number two.
Miggy hits number 500. That's right, Miguel Cabrera. Finally gets it. He was trying to do it in Detroit in front of the big crowds at home, but it just didn't happen. He gets it done in Toronto. And what an accomplishment it is. It really is. As a guy who covered Miguel Cabrera in Detroit, who watched him, I remember when there was a big debate on whether he deserved the Triple Crown or not, with all the pencil protector geeks, stats analysts, and all those people trying to say that it wasn't a big deal that he had Triple Crown numbers. This guy's a Hall of Famer. He gets my vote. It's an incredible feat. It's just not that easy to do. People think, oh, if you stick around a long time. It is his 19th year in the big leagues, but he made it happen. And he's the first player to reach 500 home runs since David Ortiz back in 2015. First player to reach it as a Tiger. So people in Detroit were just thrilled about that. And the first Venezuelan-born player to get there. And only 6 of the 28 players who have reached 500 were born outside of the United States. And that's Ortiz, Pujols, Sosa, Palmeiro, and Ramirez. So he joins a very elite class. And they're going to have a celebration for him on September 24th. There will be a celebration dubbed Miggy Celebration Day when they play the Royals. So Miguel Cabrera, just an incredible hitter. I say, people always say he's like one of the greatest right-handed hitters. I just think he's one of the greatest hitters I ever saw, right or left. But Miguel Cabrera, Mazel Tov, number 500, and officially, Miggy, you have my Hall of Fame vote 5 years after you retire.
Number three.
On Wednesday, Major League Baseball announced the postseason schedule for 2021, which will open up with an American League wildcard game. That'll be on ESPN Tuesday, October 5th. I mean, it's about a month away. And then the National League wildcard game will be on that Wednesday, October 6th on TBS. Game one of the 2021 World Series is on Fox. That's scheduled for October 26th at the home of the league champion with the superior regular season record. So that'll be the team that would host game one. And then the schedule follows Sunday, October 3rd, of course, when the regular season is over. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And both AL division series will be scheduled to begin Thursday, October 7th. So the schedule's in place. You know the home, ESPN, TBS will have all your games. And, of course, MLB Network, I'm sure, will have a couple sprinkled in as well. So as we get ready for the final month of the season, there's still things to be decided. I mean, there's a couple divisions, you know, I think are set with the White Sox having a big lead and the Milwaukee Brewers as far as winning the division. I still want to keep an eye on the NL West with the Dodgers and Giants going into Wednesday. The Giants still held a 2.5 game lead. And the Padres on the outside looking in with the Reds. Are they going to be able to overtake the Reds? So there's a lot of stuff in that NL West that is like a big division to look at. And I'm not sure if the Yankees can catch the Rays. They're 4.5 out going into Wednesday. But that'll be interesting to see if the Yankees can catch them. They made up 10.5 games on the Red Sox. If they can overtake the Rays as well.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast former Major League outfielder Matt Holliday. And Matt, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Man, doing great. So many different things I'd love to talk to you about. Let's start here with the Giants and the Dodgers. Will the Giants be able to hang on, or will the Dodgers catch them? The Giants have held on all year when people kept thinking they were going to fall, and the Dodgers just haven't given up. Who's going to win this division? Because it's a big thing, Matt. As you know, the team that doesn't win the division has to play in a one-game playoff and could get knocked out.
Yeah, I mean, I think all along I've thought that eventually that the Dodgers roster would catch the Giants, and especially when they acquired Scherzer and Trey Turner, it almost seemed like a matter of time before the Dodgers would overtake the Giants. But there just seems to be something special going on with this Giants team, and I think you look at the leadership and the play of Buster Posey and Crawford this year. And I noticed both of them left the game last night with some sort of injuries, which I think could end up playing a big part in this if those seem to be more severe than maybe initially thought. But I would say the Dodgers have a better roster, but it seems like they have a hard time catching these Giants.
No, I'm with you. It just seems it's incredible where they are. Let me ask you about the Padres. The Padres were my pick coming in, that they would win the division. Part of it was that the Dodgers have won it 8 years in a row. You know what I mean? It's really hard to do that. And I like the roster that the Padres have, but they've fallen on hard times now. Now they're struggling, you know, to be able to overtake the Cincinnati Reds for that final playoff spot. They're not out of it, but they got to start winning soon. What do you think? Are the Padres dead, or can they get back in this?
Well, obviously, the pitching injuries have taken a toll. They've had to mix and match in the rotation a lot lately. They've had to do the spot starts, the bullpen games, and those are tough games to win. I think if they can get a couple more of their guys healthy, I definitely like their roster compared to the other teams that are vying for that wild card spot. I think they stand out to me as the favorite. But they got to get it going soon. You know, they should have the offense to help them, I think, carry the load a little bit. But right now, they're just not getting enough pitching in the rotation. Their studs aren't going deep enough into the games to get on any kind of roll. So it is a bit concerning, and as well as the Reds are swinging the bat. But I would say if I had to bet, I'd say the Padres end up in that wild card spot.
Our guest is Matt Holliday, former Major League outfielder who broke in with the Colorado Rockies, hit 299 career home runs, finished his career with the Rockies as well, played other places. But Matt, you played the outfield, left field. The Padres put Tatis in the outfield trying to save his shoulder, keep him in the lineup. Is it easy to make that transition, or is he athletic enough and good enough that he'll be able to do it without hurting that team?
I think he'll be fine. I mean, when you talk about an athlete, a young athlete, he runs really well. He could throw, has great arm strength. I think it'll be a pretty easy transition for him. Knowing that he's a son of a major leaguer, I'm guessing he grew up shagging balls in the outfield at major league stadiums and running balls down. And I'm guessing he has some experience playing some outfield. So I think he'll be fine. I don't think that's an issue. I think he's one of those guys that with some time under his belt, which he has about a little over a month of the seasoning. I think if they do make it into the playoffs, they should be just fine having him in the outfield. And I'm interested to see what happens with that long term. He has led the league in errors. He's made some errors at shortstop. And if he's more comfortable playing outfield, that allows him to free his mind up a little bit and it would help his offensive game that much more. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like short term and long term.
You know, we saw Robin Yount. That happened with Robin Yount with the Brewers. You remember they moved him from shortstop to center field. This guy went on to be a Hall of Famer. So guys have moved and it hasn't stopped them from achieving. So I'm with you. I think there's a good chance, you know, he gets to a lot of balls. He throws a lot of balls away, you know, and maybe he just has to learn to hold on to some of them once in a while. But he could wind up staying in the outfield. And I think it would. He's such a tremendous talent. I'm with you. I think he can make that transition.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem for him. Like you said, I think he gets the more balls, which means he tries to make throws he shouldn't. Some of those errors are probably just a little bit of lapse in concentration, which as you get older, you tend to learn to lock in mentally a little bit better. Long-term, he could play at shortstop, but I do think it might benefit him on his career to make the move to center field or even, you know, he hits enough home runs and slugs enough that he could play a corner outfield spot. So like you said, he's a tremendous talent, a tremendous athlete. It's going to be interesting.
I want to hear from you. You hit 299 career home runs. You know how hard it is. It's hard to get the ball out of the ballpark. It ain't an easy thing. You know, you got to have the right swing and all that. And Miguel Cabrera joined the 500 club, right? The 28th player. You know how many players have played in Major League Baseball? Only 28 have gotten to 500 or more. How impressed are you when you see a guy, you know, reach that milestone?
Yeah, I mean, it's a number that gets you in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it should. I mean, I think almost all of them are outside of some speculation on PEDs. But I think when you talk about 500 homers, it's an incredible feat. He's one of my favorite right-hand hitters of all time, if not my favorite, just to watch. I used to watch his swing a lot when I was playing just to because he had such a pure swing. When you start talking about a triple crown, you talk about a guy that's won a batting title. He hits to all fields. He was a hitter that I wanted my swing to look like. And I think a lot of right-hand hitters would say the same thing. And just an incredible guy. He's a lot of fun. He plays the game with a lot of good energy. It's a super impressive number. It just really is. I mean, it doesn't I can't say it enough that when you get to 500 homers, there's only 28 guys that have ever played the game of baseball that have got there.
It's an incredible number. And I am a Hall of Fame voter. That's one of my magic numbers. 500 home runs, you automatically get my vote. I don't need to see any other stats. To me, it's 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, or 300 wins, and you're in with me because, it, you know, to last that long to be able to amass those stats, to me, those are magic numbers.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let me ask you about the Milwaukee Brewers, who are running away with the NL Central, 8.5 game lead as of Wednesday. Where are the Brewers? They came, you know, from they had a good team, but I didn't think they'd run away with the Central. Are you surprised?
I am a little surprised, and not now, having seen some of the way that their young pitchers have developed. Their starting rotation is probably the best, if I had to say, at least the best in the National League, and maybe even the best in all of the major leagues when you start looking at their starting rotation. And then when you got Hader and I think Williams at the back end, you're talking about high-end pitching. They did a nice job of adding some position players. Colton Wong's had a really good season. They've made some nice moves that have kind of supplemented their offense. But their in-house pitching that they've developed has turned out to be super high-end. And it's good. They're going to be a tough out. I would say if I had to pick a National League representative right now, for the World Series, I think I would go with the Milwaukee Brewers just because of their pitching.
Amazing. His name is Matt Holliday, the former Major League outfielder, also the outfield coach at Oklahoma State. Matt, man, thanks for your knowledge, man. We appreciate you on the podcast.
Thanks, Rob. Anytime.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
With about 6 weeks left in the regular season, we're starting to see the playoff races begin to take shape. The Reds, they're surging. The Padres, they're flailing. The Yankees, well, they can't be stopped. But what's most important going forward could end up being each team's remaining schedule. The Dodgers are chasing the Giants still, but they play each other only three more times, a weekend series at the beginning of September. The Yankees only have one more series each with their division rivals Red Sox and Rays, while the AL West might come down to the Astros and A's playing each other on each of the season's final two weekends. The NL wildcard race, however, could be the most intriguing of them all. The Giants or Dodgers are pretty much locked into the first spot, but Cincinnati and San Diego will be fighting to the finish. However, the rest of the way, the Padres have the toughest remaining schedule based on opponent win percentage at 570, a full 35 points tougher than the next closest team, Arizona. They have a gauntlet in their final 12 games, by the way, playing the Giants, Braves, and Dodgers. The Reds, on the other hand, have the second easiest schedule left at 467 opponent win percentage. 10 of their final 12 games are against Pittsburgh and Washington, by the way. Only Philly has it easier than the Redlegs. However, don't count out the Friars just yet. This season, the Padres are 32-22 against teams 500 or better, the best mark in the National League, and only behind Houston in all of baseball. These final 6 weeks are going to be fun.
That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
Miguel Cabrera became the 28th member of baseball's distinguished 500 home run club. J.R., is it foul or is it fair to say he's the last 500 homer guy that MLB will see in a long time?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Of course, you have the young bombers like Tatis Jr. and Vlad Guerrero Jr., who almost definitely will get there in about 15 years or more. But I did come up with two legitimate names that should get there pretty soon. Nelson Cruz, who is 42, but he rakes like he's 21 still. And believe it or not, he needs just 57 more homers to get to 500. Boy, he really crept up on us. Only two men, however, have hit even 35 career homers starting in their age 41 season. That's Carlton Fisk, who hit 53, and Barry Bonds, who hit 54. So no one's ever even done what Cruz is attempting to do. But despite his age, Cruz has 26 homers this season. So age is definitely just a number, and he's still cooking. So I see him banging down these last 57 pretty easily over the next couple of years. Believe it or not, Giancarlo Stanton is already two-thirds of the way to 500 homers. He has 333 home runs entering Wednesday's game, and he's just 31 years old. Now, he's had a lot of health problems, or he'd have even more home runs. So if you figure he's on the upside of his health, he should cruise to 500 home runs. That'll be five more 30 homer seasons. That should about do it, or eight more 20 plus homer seasons scattered until he's about 40. He can do it. Either way, both of these guys are in a great position to become the 29th and 30th sluggers in history to achieve a mark of 500 career homers that almost guarantees them Hall of Fame induction.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Rob, what's going on as we close out the month of August in style? Hard to believe September is here, and so is Major League Baseball's postseason return. Anyways, as we close out this month, I'm looking at the Dodgers and Rockies in game number one Friday night. I'm taking LA no matter what. They're in hot pursuit of the San Francisco Giants for the National League West title. Dodgers need to keep pace with them. Rockies have been brutal this season, 14-46 away from the happy confines of Coors Field. Dodgers in this one to start things out. On the other side of the American League, Tampa Bay Rays are holding off everybody now. Boston, the New York Yankees, who have come on strong as of late. So I'm taking Tampa. They're in Baltimore in this matchup. It'll be Michael Walker versus Matt Harvey in the affair. And the other game I'm looking at is in Atlanta. It's the Giants and the Atlanta Braves. This should be a fantastic pitching matchup, but Max Fried will be going for the home team in this affair. He's 11-7 this year with an ERA of 3.49. I'm looking for Atlanta to hold off San Francisco and get the W in that contest.
Take out the papers in the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week, the San Diego Padres were the target number one on Trash Talking. But we picked this one from Lloyd Christmas 76. He tweeted me this. The Padres are all hype. Third place in the NL West, playing like mother fathers. Wow. I mean, other than curse words, I get it. If you want your tweet to be on Trash Talking next week, make sure you hit me up on my Twitter at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast one of my favorite people, a friend of mine, New York Post baseball writer, Ken Davidoff. Ken, welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Rob, it's always an honor to be in a conversation with you of any sort.
My man. Hey, I got to, you know, you cover all of baseball, but we got to talk about the Yankees and their hot streak. Going into Wednesday night, they have won 11 in a row, first time since 1985. And what's been the turnaround, Ken, for the Bronx Bombers?
Been a few different things, Rob, but I think it starts with their starting pitching. It's really been superb, even as Gerrit Cole and Jordan Montgomery missed time with COVID and some other guys have been injured. Their starting pitching has really led the way. Then I think you go to the lineup balance. You know, they've even though Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo aren't crushing it, just to have those guys in the lineup makes the opposing manager think about, you know, what to do bullpen wise. And then they've gotten a little more athletic. Talk about Tyler Wade. He's been stealing a lot of bases. And then they have this young shortstop, Andrew Velazquez, who's been filling in for Gleyber Torres, who's injured. And he brings a lot of athleticism and defense and speed.
Talk about the shortstop and what I'm talking about, a Bronx tale. I mean,
yeah.
He's from the Bronx, been in the minor leagues for a while, sleeping in his family's bed, you know, in his home in the Bronx. I mean, and he hit his first home run at Yankee Stadium and he's made some plays. I mean, what a great little story that is.
For sure. Yeah, he's spent some time in the major leagues, Rob. He's been on the Orioles and the Rays. So he's like a quadruple A type, 27 years old. And the Yankees signed him over the offseason to a minor league contract, only got his shot when Torres got hurt. And he's certainly an inspirational guy, just a high energy guy. And with all due respect to Gleyber Torres, who has made a few all-star teams already, Glaber is on a natural, or I guess he is a natural shortstop in one way, but he's, you know, he certainly doesn't look like a shortstop, not the most athletic guy. Whereas Andrew Velasquez is more of an athletic guy, strong defensive shortstop, made a great play to save a game against the Red Sox and runs the bases really well. So he's brought a different element to the team.
Our guest is New York Post baseball columnist Ken Davidoff. Ken, Giancarlo Stanton has been big for the Yankees. How much has putting him back in the outfield helped to get him not just being a DH, but playing every day? Or am I making too much of that?
No, contraire, mon frère, I don't think you're making enough of it. I think it's been huge. And to their credit, I had my doubts because this is a guy who's been so injured the last few years. Like, why increase the risk and send him out there? But he appears to be in far better condition the last couple of years. And it's been a dual benefit, Rob, because he says himself, Stanton, that he's hitting better because he likes playing the field and not having to think about hitting all the time. And then by playing him in the field, they open up the DH spot for Luke Voit, who's been superb. He was just American League Player of the Week because Voit lost his first base job to Anthony Rizzo.
Okay, Ken, last thing. Can the Yankees get to the World Series from the American League? And I say that because, you know, over the last few years, they've been close and they just can't seem to get over the hump. But the one team that, to me, that's really in the way is the Chicago White Sox, and they've basically owned them. I think they've only lost one time to the White Sox. Is that their nemesis, or is it still Tampa Bay?
Oh, I think it's still Tampa Bay, Rob. You know, Tampa Bay eliminated them from the playoffs last year. Tampa Bay was trying to get its second straight AL East title with a vastly smaller payroll than the Yankees have, really kind of showing up the Yankees in a way, right? And, you know, the Rays have largely had the Yankees number really since the start of last year. I think the Rays are the nemesis that the Yankees are going to try to overcome. Can they do it? Of course. And better shape to do it as well, just based on the way they played recently.
All right. Here it is, man. Check out his column in the New York Post. One of the best baseball writers in the country. And I'm proud to say a friend of mine, Mr. Ken Davidoff. Ken, appreciate you.
Hey, Rob, I got one question for you. Are you ripping?
If I'm writing for Deadspin, you know I'm ripping.
I love it.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for baseball.
Foul ball.
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. Hope all is well. Despite being a Mr. Hunt for the playoffs, I want to take a brief intermission from that to talk about Miguel Cabrera becoming the 28th player to join the illustrious 500 home run club on Sunday. Since we're in the year 2021, that means that there's a generation started from the year 2010 that might not know how special he was and still is. So just in case that scenario might apply to anyone that may be listening, I'm going to take it back in time really quick. The first time I personally watched Miggy, he was a 20-year-old rookie for the then Florida Marlins playing in Game 7 of the NLCS against the Cubs. He was facing Kerry Wood, and the count was 1-2 and 2 men on the bases. He ropes a line drive just over the head of Juan Pierre, who's on third base, but foul. The next pitch, he gets a fastball down and in and sends it over the fence to deep left center field, giving the Marlins a 3-run home run that would catapult them to the World Series, which in fact they ended up winning over the Yankees in 6. So fast forward to December 2007, the Marlins traded Miggy to the Detroit Tigers. Now in Detroit, that's where Miggy really started to get jiggy. He would go on to win 4 batting titles, 2 home run titles, 2 MVP awards back to back, and in my mind, the most impressive feat of all, the Triple Crown. Just like the late, great Denny Green said, crown is you know what. As of right now, the 11-time All-Star is in his 19th season, and the next check on the bucket list is Mr. 3000, like my guy, Bernie Mac, rest in peace. Miggy's currently 43 hits shy of that mark, and under contract for the next season. In theory, he could become just the 7th player to accomplish such feat. But all that's for a later date. Right now, I believe in taking a moment and letting the greatness of a 20-year-old kid from Venezuela sink in and appreciate what he's become. Cherish the moments we have to still watch him because players like Miggy don't come along too often.
Bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Baseball has some unbelievable roots. I know people question, you know, whether it's the national pastime, but I got a story for you. Are you ready for this? Baseball was played among the Egypt's pyramids in 1889. You hear me? I mean, it sounds crazy, but it did happen. I mean, baseball has been played everywhere, if you want to be honest. An aircraft carrier, midnight sun game in Alaska. And then we just saw, you know, in Iowa on the cornfield. But yes, it is true. Are you ready for this? On this date, February 9th in 1889, the Chicago White Stockings, yes, that's what they were called back then, played against a team of National League All-Stars at the Great Pyramids in Giza, Egypt, a place that I have visited and is unbelievable. And they played there, a part of a tour all over the world presenting baseball. Can you imagine baseball 1889? It doesn't even seem real. But the love of baseball and baseball's travels, I mean, the stories, I just don't think other sports can say that. And that's what makes baseball special.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.